Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this little boy wanted very desperately to win a part in his school's annual Christmas play, and he was very, very anxious, so anxious that his parents were just a little nervous about what might happen if he didn't get a part. And so as soon as he came home from school on that big day when there was tryouts, they wanted to know, how did the audition go? And the boy was ecstatic. He said, "My teacher picked me out of all the other kids in my class to sit in the audience and clap as loud as I could." I think that John the Baptist would have liked to have landed a part just like that one in his school's play. John was supporting cast, definitely behind the scenes, not lead role material. He was the announcer whose job it was to declare that the time had now fully come, and the curtain was about to rise, and the lights were about to go up and shine on a man who has come into this world to be the lead man. He was about to come onto stage, and it was John's job to clap loudly so that everyone would be ready for him when he came. John had only one line to say in the divine drama that was about to unfold, but it was a big line. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The artwork from the early church depicts John the Baptist with a mouth that is out of proportion to his whole head and an index finger that is unusually long, and it's pointed straight forward, always at Jesus. And John, I think, was perfectly content for being known as the guy with the big mouth and the long finger. John was born to be a witness. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Already at his birth, his father's sealed lips burst open with prophetic words, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way." John prepared the way for the Lord by witnessing to him. Witnessing is a legal word, and we're used to hearing it in a courtroom scene. Witnesses are called to take the witness stand, and they're asked to give their testimony. They're asked to tell their story to the court. That's what John did. No sooner does John come on the stage, but he's called to the witness stand by those who want to hear his sworn testimony. A contingent of men, priests and Levites, come out from the city. They go to the wilderness. It's not their place to be. They're much more comfortable in the familiar environs of the temple. But they go trudging out into the wilderness. I meet some of these people on the Appalachian Trail from time to time, who come in out of the city because they think it would be cool to go hiking, and they don't know what they're doing. They hike out into the wilderness where John was baptizing. They weren't exactly the hospitality committee. They didn't come with a church coffee mug and a church pamphlet. They were not sent from God. In fact, John points out that they were sent by the Pharisees. So they take this little hike out into the desert. They find John and they ask, "Who are you?" What they meant, of course, is, "Who do you think you are?" Evidently, there was a lot of scuttlebutt going around town about a strange man out in the desert who wore strange clothes, ate strange food. Maybe, just maybe, this was the long-awaited Messiah. But he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." "What then? Are you Elijah?" 400 years before John, the prophet Malachi said that Elijah would come before the Messiah appeared. They wondered, could this be Elijah? After all, John certainly dressed like a real prophet. He ate prophets' food. He spoke just like the prophets speak. Jesus would later say that John was the Elijah that Malachi had spoken of, if you can believe it. Evidently, John himself couldn't believe it, would rather not apply that honor to himself. He said, I am not he. Are you the prophet? The prophet, definite article. Moses had predicted there would come a prophet into this world, and you could tell that he was the prophet of all prophets because what he said would come true. It would actually happen just as he said it would. Are you the prophet? And John, short, sweet, said, nope. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. We're on an expense account. We've got to justify this trip to the management back at the home office. What do you say about yourself? Tell us something. John answered by reciting a few verses from the prophet Isaiah, which John himself understood were written about him. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Now, these guys who came out into the wilderness don't like being there in the first place, and they're getting just a little irritated with John's attitude. And so they say, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? As if to say, you know, you're causing quite a fuss out here, and you've got a lot of people wondering and asking a lot of questions, and don't you know we're the authorities, not you? We're the church officials, and we like to know what's going on, and we'd like to know what's being said, and we don't know what you're all about, and we want to know what you're up to. John is relatively unfazed by their threats and demands. He's not so pushed into answering their questions on their terms. He just keeps pointing and mouthing off about Jesus. I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. John wants to tell these church inspectors, listen, fellows, you've got it all wrong. This is not about me. I'm just the forerunner whose job it is to go in front of the king and blow the trumpet so everyone is aware that he's coming, so that everyone might be ready when he comes. So you should listen to my preaching, because my preaching is all about Christ, who is at hand, and you do not know him. Listen, even though I was born before he was, he came before me, because he always was, and there was never a time when he was not. He's the one you should really be paying attention to, not me. You don't know him, but he's the one whom you must come to know. You need to listen to everything that he has to say, pay careful attention to everything that you see him do, and you need to cast all of your hopes and all of your trust and all of your confidence for your salvation and your eternal life upon him, because he is worthy of it. This is the one whom all this trumpeting that I'm doing out here in the wilderness, all this mouthing off that I've been doing about this Jesus, this is the one who it's all about. As for me, I'm not worthy to even untie the strap of his sandal. But as for him, he's worthy of your complete trust and love and devotion, because he's coming for you. Of course, we know how these men and those whom they represent respond to all of this preaching and pointing and mouthing off by John. They heard the sermon, but they didn't like it one bit. All they were interested in was his person and his credentials for carrying on the way that he was. It was the same when Christ came too. They would listen to his preaching. They wouldn't agree with any of it. They would reject all of it. And eventually, they were so happy to hear that Herod had taken John's head off. And then they would plot and scheme to have Christ crucified. The evangelist puts it like this: the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. It's not much different today, is it? There's nothing more important for men and women, boys and girls, to hear and to believe than that Jesus Christ has come into the world to deliver them from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and to bring them into his heaven and give them eternal life with him in his paradise, and that he is worthy of our complete trust and confidence. It's the work of the church in every day and every age to blow the trumpet and announce the arrival of the Christ who has reconciled the world to God the Father, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious, and innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Say it with me: this is most certainly true. The last thing in the world we ever want to do is to point to ourselves and trumpet ourselves as though we had all the answers and all the power to reconcile a single soul to the holy, holy, holy God in heaven. We preach Christ and him crucified, the only hope for sinners. And just as it was for John the Baptist, so it is for us. The vast majority have little or no interest in our message, and they either ignore it altogether or consider it to be utter foolishness, or they take great resentment at it. So many are so wrapped up in all of their work, in their family, in their money, in their busyness, by which they try to satisfy their hunger and their thirst for some significance and some purpose, some meaning for their life, even while they refuse to hear the good news that this Jesus Christ, and through faith in him, we are loved and cherished by God himself, and set free to now engage this world in whatever our calling and vocation might be, not for the good that we might get for ourselves out of it — we've already got the highest good there is — but for the good that we might do for the sake of others, because Christ and him crucified gives me all that I need for this body and life. To all who want to have a God in their own image, who appreciates and rewards all their good works and their righteous living with a reward of heaven and eternal life, we testify to a baptism that unites them to Christ and his death for them and his resurrection from the dead for them, and restores us to his holy image in which he made us in the beginning, not because we have earned it, not because we deserve it, but solely because he loves us and he loves to save us. And so many laugh and scoff and even despise and hate us because of our testimony, because they have so much invested in their own righteousness, and they just cannot bring themselves to let go of it. But as it was for John, so it also is for us. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And every time a single soul lets the testimony about Jesus Christ take root and produce its good fruit of faith and hope and life, the angels in heaven all rejoice, and John the Baptist is right there clapping as loud as he can. We must never fall into the temptation and become misled or sidetracked from the single most important work that the church is called to do. We are to testify to Jesus Christ, whether anyone listens or not, whether anyone repents and turns or not, simply because there is no other gospel by which men may be saved. This is the chief article of the Christian faith, and any time it gets pushed aside for any other reason, the church has nothing left to say that can either help a person, let alone save men and women from sin, death, and hell. It is this that made John the Baptist stand firm and confess and not deny, but confess. Let it be the same for us. It is the one thing most necessary. Let us listen to John's testimony ourselves, so that our own faith in Christ may be continually revived and strengthened. And let us use our own mouth and our own fingers to point others to Jesus, just as John did, without fear. For even if we should lose our head for it, what is that when Christ himself is our head and we cannot lose him? Even if we should be put to death or threatened with death for it, that means nothing to us, for Christ is our life, and in him we do not die. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him.